This is Pastor Jim Crisson for the congregation of Rock Springs First Methodist Church. In the reality of today's world, everyone has questions. How do we get here and how do we move forward? You are invited to join us in worship on Sunday mornings as we provide answers to these and other important questions of the hour. Of course, there is only one answer, and that is the love of Jesus, our Christ and Redeemer. We are a Christ-centered, Bible-based faith community, worshiping in the spirit of our Wesleyan heritage. If you're looking for a church home and the fellowship of a faith community to sustain and uphold you as you move forward in your journey, please join us at 10:30 Sunday mornings by Zoom or in-person worship at 1515 Egger Street here in Rock Springs. Visit our website at www.rockspringsumc.org. You are welcome to join us at Rock Springs First Methodist Church.
The following worship service was broadcast and recorded live at Rock Springs First Methodist Church, a traditional Christ-centered, Bible-based faith community worshiping in the spirit of our Wesleyan heritage with Reverend Jimmy Crisson on Sunday, July 18, 2021.
Well, good morning. God bless you and welcome to worship this morning. I'd like to welcome the pastor and Carrie back. Let us open this morning with prayer. Lord, we ask for insight and understanding as we read your holy word. Enable us to live our lives in ways that are pleasing to you and that we may spread the good news of salvation through Jesus Christ to those around us. Amen.
Let us prepare to go before the Lord in prayer this morning. Let us pray. O Lord, our God, before you we come. May we humble our hearts, bowing our heads. May we honor you in this time. With humbleness of spirit, humbleness of heart and life, may we come before you, our Creator God, the one who sent his only Son and did not withhold him, that we may be reconciled unto you, that our sins would be forgiven, and that we could come, each and every one of us in our own way, before your throne. Father, we come humbled, with hearts with many needs upon them, the calls of life in our own personal journey may be many, the calls may be coming less, depending on where we are in this journey. And Father, as we do come, we know there are many people in need of your gracious love, mercy, peace, and presence, of your healing. But more than anything else, to know and to be assured of your love and grace that is in Christ Jesus. For Father, we realize that there is no more important question to be asked than where we'll spend our eternity. And Father, we would pray that none would be lost. Father, we come with imperfections. We come with struggles. We come out of brokenness. We come maybe even suffering from some pride. We come from many places, but we come to you as one. May you hear our prayers as we intercede for those who have called upon us to lift them up. Father, we may not know every need of those who are written in our bulletin, those who are silently upon the hearts of others. We may not need to know, we may not know the needs of those in faraway places or near to us in community. But Father, you do. Father, we may become overwhelmed with the massive needs around us or inundated with bad news, calamities, disasters, heartbreak. But Father, no burden is too heavy for you, no cause too great, no need too severe, that you in your infinite power, wisdom, love, and mercy cannot reach into it with a hand of love and grace. But Father, we realize that in order for us to hear, to see, and to experience your hand of grace, we have to humble ourselves before you and call upon you in the name of Jesus. So Father, we intercede for those who do not believe that they would come to you. We pray for those who do believe, who suffer, who struggle. Father, we pray for those who aren't here, who travel and are away. We do pray for those who lead us from our local governments to the national scene. We pray for leaders around the world to lead out of integrity, honesty, and truth, and humbleness of heart and life, to lead as a servant and not as something else. And Father, we pray that we too would serve, that we too would see the brokenness around us and not be turned to the side by it, but to reach out in some way to touch those lives. And Father, we pray that we would be forgiven our sins, that we would have the strength and grace by you to forgive others. And Father, we do pray for those who are in hospitals, nursing homes, shut-ins in their own homes, for those who are suffering from disasters of different kinds. May you comfort them and still their hearts and fill them with hope anew. And now we pray that you hear us as we join our heart and voice to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Our reading for this morning is from Mark chapter 6, verses 30 through 34, and then 53 through 56. The apostles gathered around Jesus and told him all that they had done and taught. He said to them, "Come away to a deserted place all by yourselves and rest a while." For many were coming and going, and they had no leisure even to eat. And they went away in a boat to a deserted place by themselves. Now many saw them going and recognized them, and they hurried there on foot from all the towns and arrived ahead of them. As he went ashore, he saw a great crowd, and he had compassion for them, because they were like sheep without a shepherd, and he began to teach them many things. When they had crossed over, they came to land at Gennesaret and moored the boat. When they got out of the boat, people at once recognized him and rushed about that whole region and began to bring the sick on mats to wherever they heard he was. And wherever he went, into the villages or cities or farms, they laid the sick in the marketplaces and begged him that they may touch even the fringe of his cloak. And all who touched it were healed. the Word of God for the people of God.
She did good. This is a very popular passage of Scripture. However, we've omitted the popular part. You noticed that, right? The feeding of the 5,000 with 3 loaves and 5 fishes. Well, Pastor, that's the good part of the story. Why'd you leave that one out? Because that's all we ever see of this. We don't get to see the bookends. We don't get to see what brought us to the feeding or what followed the feeding of the 5,000. Jesus has just received his disciples back to him. He had sent them out 2 by 2. They've been out doing ministry. They've been out casting out demons and healing the sick and teaching and preaching and traveling, and they're exhausted. They've come back and they've told him all about all of the things, and the demons obeyed him in his name, and they come back, but they're exhausted and they're tired, but the people are thronging, coming and going, and they don't get any peace. They don't even have time to eat. And Jesus says, come away. Now, there's a lesson in and of that itself. Be careful you aren't so busy that you don't have time to be alone with God. Be careful that you're not so busy that you can't take time to be alone with God. Be careful. He calls them aside and so he says, okay, this is not working out for us. We're going to have to get out of here. So fast forward, get down. We fed them. We got all that stuff took care of. And we picked up all the parts and pieces, cleaned up the mess from the picnic, and we're going to get out of here. Now, remember, they fed 5,000. That's a pretty good group of people, right? But that was 5,000 men, not counting the women and children. Only ones that got counted was the men. So there may have been as many as 20,000 people that had fish sandwiches by the sea that day. And they get out and they get into a boat. Well, guess what? Those thousands of people see them. And they know which way they're headed. This ain't no big place that they're in. From where Jesus puts in, it's 4 miles. Until they get to the other shore. Well, they see them. They watch them. They know where they're going. And it's 8 miles around the shore to meet them. And this crowd runs ahead. Now, I don't know about you. 80 feet's a good distance for me anymore to run. And I ain't running that if it ain't big enough to bite me or do something with you. I'm just not much at running anymore. But they run around. Thousands, just I need you to get a picture of this. Thousands of people are running around this lake, this seashore, and some of them beat him there. And when he lands, moors the boat, he can't even put it, they moor it, they just tie it up out in the water, they're already there. And not only that, when the other people that were there recognize who, they go out and start bringing more people. Did you see that? And Jesus has taught them. He saw them. And I want you to notice something. He sees them in the first part that she read there in verse 34. And he went ashore and he saw a great crowd, and he had compassion for them because they were like sheep without a shepherd. And he began to teach them many things. After that, they have their fish cookout, whatever it was. And then when they crossed over, verse 53, they came to the land. And when they got out of the boat, people at once recognized him. Rushed. Have you ever, you know, I've been 29 years in ministry. I've been reading my Bible for a long time. I have studied my Bible a lot. Got an undergraduate's degree and a master's in theology and a PhD in systematic theology, and I've read the Greek, and I've read the Hebrew, and I have preached a lot of sermons. You need to know a lot of sermons. And I try to read my Bible just like I asked you to read yours every day, and I try to freshen it up. How many of you have read the same thing over and over? And you want to see something, and you're asking God, freshen this up. I've been reading John 3:16 for 74 years, and how about freshening up John 3:16? So I prayed to God, and God was showing me, and Karate, I've been struggling with some things for the last couple of weeks about society and the norms of our societies and our cultures, and I look around with, in all honesty, with great distress at what I see going on with the division and the hatred and the anger and the tearing up, tearing down. It's just, I sometimes say, God, do something with the insanity that seems to be soaking into the very fabric of our societies and cultures. And folks, it ain't just in America. It's a worldwide pandemic of crazy, lunacy. It's just crazy. Have you looked? There's violence and hatred and anger. It's just like it's an oozing, festering mess. And then I said, okay, God, I got it. There's a mess out there. But I looked at history. And how many of you like history? How many of you study it and read it? It's good stuff. I mean, it really is. And I got to reading it. You know what? This ain't new. You know, maybe this worldwide lunacy is, but this ain't new. We crazy. We've always been crazy. But there's some things that we've always done. And so I looked at this text and I thought, God, show me something different. And God, then I thought, who are all these people? Why ain't they got jobs? You know, how in the world are they able to take day off, thousands of them, run around the lake, follow this Jesus guy? How come they got all this time on their hands? Where are these crowds of people coming from? And then it dawned on me. The reason they were out in the countryside is they didn't have jobs. They were sick. They were crippled. They had diseases. They were broken. And in the day of Jesus, if you were sick, Linda, they would have had to cast you out, girl. You got that cold going on. You know, it's almost what we do today, isn't it? Yeah. How many of you are afraid to cough in public? COVID! What was that? Coronavirus! You know, you've got it. You got to get out of here. You know, it's kind of that, it's almost that bad today. I mean, if you go, they go, what was that? Do you know what's fun? Get on the airplane and go, and watch them. It's fun, isn't it, honey? I'm sorry, I get bored. And you're supposed to do it on your way to the seat. I got my mask on, you okay? And they're it's just fun. Anyway, I digress. So, but I got to thinking, why are there so many people? Why are there so many people? And then I remember the Old Testament. The Old Testament said that if you were sick, if you were inflamed, if you were disabled, if there was something wrong with you, maybe your ear had flopped down, you had one big old eye or something like that, you know, you were weird, deformed or something, that was God's judgment on you. And that you were being judged by God. And since God was judging you, those good folks, they couldn't have anything to do with you, because if they had anything to do with you, they would have been interfering in God's judgment of you. That's pretty bad, isn't it? Do we think that way today? We'll see. So then it's even better than that. They said, okay, we got a real problem here, because the Old Testament says that I shall, this is God himself, says, I shall visit the iniquity of the father, the iniquity of the father unto the fourth generation. So I may be sick. My ear may be lopsided. You know, I may have three eyes, but it might not be my fault. It might have been my daddy or my daddy's daddy. or my great-grandpa. Could have been his. So wait a minute. Wait a minute. You can't go either. Your daddy can't go, your grandpa can't go, and your great-grandpa can't go. Four generations got to stay at home. Wait a minute, hold it, wait a minute. But maybe you got three eyes because you are suffering God's judgment. That means that since you're suffering God's judgment and it goes to the fourth generation, your son, your grandson, and your great-grandson can't go either. Eight generations are kicked out of the normal society. They aren't allowed to go to church. They aren't allowed to have jobs. They aren't allowed to function as a normal. They are rejected. Wesley would have called them the last, the least, and the lost. They were disenfranchised. They were kicked out because they were judged to be not worthy. But we don't do that in the world today, do we? How many of you, Joe Carver, a good friend of mine, told me, he said, I don't know what you did to get this pretty woman. Because he said, pretty, you ain't. I resemble that. I was pretty, I ain't. That's just the way it is. Nicholas says I'm older than a dinosaur. And I look worse than one. But you know what? Dennis was right. Nicholas, I pray that you'll have a kid just like you one day. Just like you. And that you're going to be sitting in a chair. That little kid's going to look at you and say, hi, Dinosaur Nicholas. You look like a Tyrannosaurus Rex. My, what big teeth you have, Grandpa. Yeah. So we got all these people. In our society today, how many of you, now I'm going to be honest with you, I did this to my Sunday school class, I'm going to do it to you. How many of you, if you see somebody with a disfigured face, don't take an extra look? Or you look away? How many of us, when we see somebody with Down syndrome, don't stick a label on there pretty quick? We see somebody that's got a limp. What do we think? We see somebody that doesn't fit the norm. Maybe their clothes are ratty. What do we decide? Maybe something's different about them. Maybe they've got purple hair. Or maybe they got some extra holes where they've got the extra piercings done. Maybe they've got tattoos. Now, I've got news for you. I got to tell this on myself. I don't like tattoos. You just need to know that. I don't condemn you. If you want one, go get one. I got drunk enough one time. I almost had a globe and anchor this big right here. And I was actually shaved and prepped for it. And somebody said, you better not do that. You can get court-martialed for destruction of government property. I said, okay. I'll wait till I get out. Whew, thank goodness. I seen this guy at the Walmart, and he had a barcode on his neck. He did. Why would you want a barcode on your neck? Of all the tattoos, my grandpa had these two girls on his arm. He had them put on when he was in the army, and he could do his hands like this, and they were hula dancers. And when he'd move the muscles on his arm, they'd dance. And he'd roll up his shirt sleeves. He'd do that, and them hula girls would dance on his. I thought that was cool. It's all business. You know? But later on, when he got a lot older, them hula girls didn't look so good, you know? They'd done drooped out. So it wasn't the same effect. But this guy had a barcode on his neck, and I saw him. And he's a big old guy, you know? Anybody's got a barcode on the back of their neck. He didn't have no hair. And I was looking for anything else. I wonder if he had something, you know? Maybe, anyway, I couldn't stand it. And the devil showed up. Did anybody ever do this besides me? And I saw him again. And you know them readers that they got on the wall? I asked him. I said, sir, I see you've got a barcode on your neck, back of his neck. He said, yes, sir. I said, have you ever stuck your head under this thing to see how much you're worth? I couldn't stand it. I said, you could be worth a million or a penny. He told me to go to purgatory, only used a colorful metaphor, and gave me directions and how to get there, and hoped I was toasty when I arrived. And I said, well, don't get upset. I was just asking. Thought I was going to have to whip him in Walmart, and I looked around. The biggest thing I could find was a box of rice. So, you know, I had to find a different aisle next time. You know, something a little bad. But how many of us recognize some things aren't normal? How many of us have noticed that sometimes people don't fit the mold? I'm thankful this morning that Jesus doesn't look for mold fitters. I'm thankful this morning that broken and diseased we can come. Broken of heart and life. For I have learned that it don't matter how pretty it looks, it may not be that pretty on the inside. I've learned that judging a book by its cover is the wrong thing to do. I've realized that there is not one of us perfect. No, not one. There's no one in this world today that isn't broken in some way. But I asked myself the question, these broken people, they get it. These broken people, Jesus said they were lost and they need a shepherd. And the title of the sermon is Lost with Great Need. Their needs were great and they were coming and they were touching his hems and he healed all who came to him. He touched them. He got in there. He got involved. And I'm thinking, they are coming. They're coming in groups by the thousands, literally by the thousands of Jesus. They need him. They need him. They need him. They realize they're broken. They realize they don't fit in. They realize they're not the norm. They're coming to Jesus. But what about those other people? Those other people who have caused them to be the cast outs, who have cast them out to society. Why are they not coming? Why are the very Pharisees that read the very scriptures that foretold of this very Messiah to come, why were they not coming? Why were the fancy dudes coming, not coming? Why were the pretty ladies not coming? Why was it only this broke? Because they wanted and needed and knew their need. And the other ones did not think they needed Jesus. Pride. They had it all figured out. They had all they needed. They had the law. And it thought it was on their side. They had the money. They had the dress. They had the position. They had the respect. Why did they need a Jesus? You see, they were above sin. They were above fault. They were above failure. So pride kept them from coming and realizing it's not the outside he come to save. It's the inside. Today we face the same crisis. People who need Jesus are coming to him. If you go into most foreign countries today, they're giving their lives to Christ by the thousands. But right here in America, stiff-necked, prideful, arrogant people are not bending a knee to Jesus. Folks, we don't have a racism problem. We don't have a gun problem. We have a godlessness problem in America today. We have pride that won't let people come before God. We have pride that won't let people come to their churches on Sunday morning, who are afraid that they look too different or they're going to want to serve on a committee or board. We have churches that are afraid to open the doors to the last, the least, and the lost. I'm thankful that's not us. I honestly believe that this church would welcome whoever come through that door. I believe that in my heart. But folks, if we, the church, don't begin to reach out, that's the cure for this problem in the world today, is renewal and revival. We are all broken, from the best to the worst. I've got my own character defects. I've got my own demons, if you will, that I battle against. I can be stubborn as a mule. I can be as fossilized as a dinosaur. I can be as angry as anything you've ever seen. And I know that. And I bet you got some spots and blemishes too. And I bet you know that. And I bet you realize that others have them too. But have you noticed that our society today has said you all need to look the same? You all need to fit the mold. You all need to conform. That's what they were telling these people then. And if you don't conform, if you don't fit in, then we need to push you out, push you aside. But Christ says, come unto me all who are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. But he also says another thing that's very poignant and we must know. He says, wide is a path that leads to destruction, and there are many going that way. But narrow is a path that leads to eternal life, and there are few that find it. Those thousands of people found it. The people here today, I'm sure, have found it. But there are many today who are going down a wide path that will lead to the wrath and judgment of God, and to the judgment of nations and communities. For God won't be mocked. He won't bless our mess. He doesn't okay sin. But he redeems everything that comes to him, broken as it may be. You see, today isn't any different than in the day of Jesus, is it? Those who know they need him are seeking him. But pride stands in the way of those who turn their back on their hope. Amen. Heads bowed and eyes closed for just a minute. I'm going to ask you some questions, and I want you to think about them. I pray and I hope that you have realized that you too are broken in many ways. And I pray today that you're working on those broken places, those broken places that need healing, that need a touch from the Master's hand. I pray today that you realize others are broken around you, and that you would be praying for them and offering them the hope of Christ. For that is the greatest calling we have upon any of us, is to give our life to Christ, but also to offer Christ to the world around us, his love, his grace, and mercy. But also today, I would ask you to pray. To pray particularly for the lost, who are not seeking Christ, who are standing in pride and defiance before a loving and merciful God. I would ask that you would pray today for those who would persecute those who are broken, who are seeking Christ, who are seeking to serve Christ, who are seeking healing and redemption. Will you pray that with me this week? If you will, slip your hand up and take it right back down. Amen. Pastor, I've got struggles. It's hard for me to think about praying for somebody else's. Would you pray for me this week? Slip your hand up that I could pray for you. Amen. Pastor, the world around me has gone crazy. I am overwhelmed sometimes by all that I see. Would you pray that I could trust in God but I have my doubts. Would you slip your hand up so I can pray for you? Amen. Pastor, I just want to pray that hearts will be open and that hearts would seek Christ for healing. If you'll pray that, would you slip your hand up this morning? Amen. Our gracious and loving God, may we humble ourselves before you. May we share you into the world around us, into its brokenness. May we share you with the last, the least, and the lost. May we be a map that they would see you on. May we be a witness that they see you in. May we be a beacon of light into a darkened path. May we be salt and leaven. May we be the image of Christ for them. Not the Christ, but the image of. May we reflect His love, His grace, and mercy, despite our brokenness, our faults, and shortcomings. Father, may we be real, that those who are broken would see hope in us. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Now may grace and peace go with you, bless you, and keep you. May the love of Christ fill you and see itself outside of you, and may you share it into the world around you. And now, truly, may the peace of God that surpasses all understanding go with you, bless you, and keep you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. God bless.
Worship service recorded and broadcast live at Rock Springs First Methodist Church in Rock Springs, Wyoming. Our pastor is Reverend Jimmy Krishan. Please visit our website at www.rockspringsumc.org or on our Facebook page. Our email address is rockspringsumc@sweetwaterhsa.com. Our mailing address is 1515 Edgar Street, Rock Springs, Wyoming, 82901. Our phone number is 307-362-5334. You are invited to join us Sundays on Zoom, YouTube, or in face-to-face worship as we observe all social distancing and safe practices.